Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. And I thought I'd give you a little bit of context for how Terry and I ended up together in this room, because it is not necessarily obvious from the titles of our presentations. So I am a research assistant professor at Virginia Tech. When I started after my first job, after finishing my degree, was working as the program evaluator for the Military Families Learning Network, which started off as an e-extension learning network. In fact, I think we might have been the first learning network. We have a distinct advantage over a lot of the other e-extension learning networks in that we are fully funded through the USDA, Department of Defense Military Families Partnership, which funds a number of projects nationwide through extension. So that's kind of how Terry and I end up in the same space. So I think Military Families Learning Network is a great model for how learning networks can be successful. We are no longer really officially sort of under e-extension because we're completely self-funded now. But we still very much, we use all the e-extension platforms. We're one of the biggest users of Learn. And we're still very much in partnership with e-extension. So, and we really value that partnership. So I started out in the Military Families Learning Network as the program evaluator, and then I did some program evaluation with e-extension, and as Military Families has grown and changed, our primary institution has shifted now to Auburn, and so I do the, our PIs at Auburn, and I do sort of the day-to-day national project leadership of the Military Families Learning Network. And so I'm going to talk today a little bit, and I have 30 minutes, so maybe 25 now, about program evaluation, you know, when you're doing online programs. And people often, when I do these talks, they want, and I think it's kind of an extension disease, but they want a checklist or they want a template or they want a formula for how to do these things. So you're not going to get that from me, so I'm just going to give you that up front. I'm not going to give you a really nice, easy template. Here's how you evaluate online programs, because context really matters, right? The context of your program is critical. So some of you all may be doing online programs that are asynchronous. They may be synchronous. They may be kind of a combination of face-to-face with some online support behind them. So there's, you know, all of our programs look different. So I just thought I'd give you that up front, that I'm a big believer in context matters, and I know people get really frustrated with program evaluators frequently because often our response to a question is, it depends. So I did want to take a moment and get kind of a sense of your context. And before I do that, I'll tell you a little bit about my context, which is the Military Families Learning Network. So this is our formal mission statement, but essentially what we do is online professional development for military service professionals. So these are the people who work in the military, they're service members, as social workers, dietitians, personal finance managers. We actually cover about 9 content areas, ranging from family development, early intervention, nutrition, community capacity building. So we cover a wide spectrum of things. We are completely virtual. Our team works all over the country. We have 14 institutions that work with us. And this, I think, is a great example of extension work at its best. We leverage the resources of the land-grant university system to provide the best research-based online program development that we can get our military service members. Defense loves us. It's wonderful. They've continued to fund us for 5 years now. We're getting ready to apply for our next round of funding. And they love, you know, so what I do is I go out and I find extension faculty at land-grant universities who have expertise in the content area that Defense wants us to be working in. And that's kind of fun. That's kind of cool. So I do love what I do, and that's the context of what I do it in. I love it more some days than others, but for the most part, I think we are a great representation of how extension can really serve our communities and our country. So if you guys will just take a minute maybe and tell me a little bit about the kind of online work you're doing or you hope to be doing, what it looks like. Is it asynchronous? Is it completely online? Is it a combination? What are you doing? Are you doing it online or is it, yeah? Yes.
We're going to offer our Master Gardener training via, we did use Adobe Connect, but now we're using Zoom. So this will be the first time that there is such a live person standing up
right
in front of the room in each training session. So half of the group will be in Newcastle County, half will be in a location in Kent and Sussex. So the Newcastle County will have the live person, Kent and Sussex will have the screen person,
right,
and then it will flip up. they'll still be in a room together, so they won't be sitting in front of their terminals at home.
Right.
But so we're going to evaluate using 11 different sessions and questions that we pilot tested, comparing online versus, or not really online, you know, comparing live versus
the virtual presence.
Virtual. So my thought, I think that people are going to learn equally as well under those two scenarios. We're also going to ask them about how it felt, and I think based on the age group of most master gardeners, they're probably going to say they liked the live person better. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great experimental design you've got set up in the program design. So that'll be interesting. That'll be really interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Personally, I've been through all the academic courses you offered online, but I've all offered to draw on it's currently my primary revenue stream program, including my summer
scholarship. So is it done synchronously or asynchronously? Or both? That's great, and that I think I don't remember exactly what the percentage is, but it's close to 90% of the Ask an Expert questions are horticulture related. So that doesn't surprise me to hear that. Yeah. 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 Yeah, to ask an expert question. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Anybody else have online programs they want to share? Eric, I know you're a big social media user. Do you use that for your educational programming? Right. So do they, across the state, they all contribute to it? The same blog? Yeah. Great. So that gives me a little bit of context for the work that you're doing. So I hope as I'm talking here that you'll at least get a nugget that you can take away. Many of you all are probably pretty familiar with the sort of standard steps of program evaluation. You know, you engage your stakeholders, you focus your evaluation, then you start your data collection. You got a bunch of data, you look at it, you interpret it, you report it, and then hopefully you use it. I won't get on my youth high horse today, because I'm going to really focus in the time that we have. I think where things are a little bit different in when you're evaluating online programs, what looks a little bit different can be this the focusing of the evaluation and the data collection are going to look a little bit different when you're working online. So as you're focusing your evaluation, you know, you're describing your program, figuring out what your purpose is, And when I say determine use and users, that's of the evaluation, not necessarily of the program. Hopefully the people who are using the program also get at least minimal access to what the evaluation results are. Your evaluation questions, and then your indicators, what metrics are you going to use to answer those evaluation questions. You know, not all that different than coming up with research questions. But I'm sure you've all, or well, at least I know I've been at the end of an evaluation before and thought, wow, I got all this great data and it's not answering the questions that I really wanted answered. So that evaluation question is really key. And that's also where I think when you're talking about online programs, you have the opportunity and probably the need to ask maybe some little bit different questions. Like your program that's set up where some people are live and some people are virtual. So that gives you the real opportunity to tailor your evaluation questions around those different experiences, compare whether or not learner outcomes are similar or different, compare how people feel about them. You know, if they're having technology issues, you may learn something about using Zoom versus Adobe Connect. I mean, there are a lot of really, that when you're doing online work, I think a key is really thinking hard about what those evaluation questions are, because then obviously then that drives your indicators, that drives your methodology and your design for the online program evaluation. So your questions may look a little bit different when you're doing online programs. Now, with the Military Families Learning Network, we are very fortunate. From the very beginning, we have had a full-time evaluator on the project. They are embedded as an internal evaluator on the project. So I decided as the program evaluator early on in this project, and we've kept up with this, to use a developmental evaluation approach. And those of you who've done much evaluation work are probably familiar with Michael Quinn Patton. He's kind of one of the big gurus in program evaluation. He was actually worked for Extension something like 30 years ago in the Midwest. So we have really taken Michael Quinn Patton's developmental evaluation approach, and we've done this for a number of reasons. So the Military Families Learning Network, our funding stream is part of what's called a collaborative agreement. So we're not a grant project. We don't have a set of deliverables that we present to USDA and the Department of Defense that we then report on a year or 3 years or 5 years later. We are constantly talking back and forth, and when something comes up, if there's a new issue, you know, we've got a big troop drawdown right now. So how is the Military Families Learning Network going to respond to that? What kinds of help do people who are transitioning out of the military, for instance, need? So it's sort of an ongoing conversation. So we are a little bit of a moving target. So we are not necessarily saying these are our learner outcomes that we're going for, because those targets move. We are trying to figure out maybe what some of those learner outcomes are. So this approach works really, really well for us. Developmental evaluation really supports social innovation, adaptive management, and some of the processes that you go through when you're using this kind of approach is, you know, asking evaluative questions, really applying evaluation logic, and this is where it really helps to have somebody on the team who has some expertise in organizational development and program evaluation, because they're that person, our program evaluator, who happens to be at Virginia Tech also with me. I mean, she's the one who will say, hang on, folks, you know, we just made a decision. These are some of the potential impacts of this decision that we made, and is that really what we meant to do? That, you know, that's a great role for a program evaluator. And we also spend a lot of time gathering real-time data that informs our decision-making and our adaptations. And, of course, our funders love to see all the different metrics and things we're gathering and what they mean. So this has been a good approach for us. I hope that actually we get to a point where maybe we can be doing a little bit more summative kind of evaluation work, but we're not quite there yet. I think that's one of the things we do in Extension, because we do have a lot of pressure to show impact. And I think we try to show impact from programs before they're ready to be evaluated, before they're ready to show impact. You know, if you're working with 4-H youth, you're going to see impact in 5, 10, 20 years. It may even be the same in some of the Master Gardener stuff that you all are doing in the development of those programs. So I was kind of joking with Terry. I do sort of have an aversion to the term impact, because I think it puts a lot of pressure on Extension folks in ways that are not necessarily helpful. But. So back to our evaluation basics, and we've talked a little bit about focusing the evaluation. And in online program evaluation, some of the challenges can be just finding your audience. We don't always know who our audience is. We don't know who's reading our blogs necessarily. So you got to figure out who they are, who's there, before you can really engage with them and begin to collect that data. Even with Military Families Learning Network, we certainly have a target audience that we're trying to reach, but that doesn't mean those are the only people engaging in our programs. It doesn't mean we're reaching across all the various service branches. You know, we do really well with the Army. We do really well with the Air Force. We can't get a Marine to show up to any of our programs if our life depends on it. Why is that? So, you know, finding that audience and figuring it out. And another big part of our audience is extension professionals. So part of this whole USDA Department of Defense project for military families is about connecting the resources of the cooperative extension system with our geographically dispersed service members. So one of the things that's very different about the conflicts over the last 15 years is there was a very heavy reliance on Guard and Reserves, and those people tend to come from rural communities. And where is extension so strongest? In rural communities often. So those are part of our target audience as well. So we spend a lot of time even just trying to figure out who our audience is. Then once we find them, we can engage them. And there are a lot of different ways to engage folks online. Those of you all, you know, webinars have become pretty standard. And we have found that our target audiences, and it's the same in extension often, I think, we're over-surveying them. You know, people get tired of spending 30 minutes on a webinar and then, you know, trying to tell you what they learned in 30 minutes. So we do try to vary things up and do things like ask fewer number of questions, ask them within the webinar, use polling. We have a lot of technological constraints because all of our tools need to be available across installations across the world, and the firewalls are different everywhere. So we have to use the defense systems, some of their technology, and it's surprisingly poorly performing. at least what we have access to. So we have a lot of those challenges as well. So some of the things that we do in military families to kind of figure out who these people are. So we spend a lot of time in Google Analytics and also just asking people. So this is just a screenshot from in June. We had a virtual learning event by our personal finance team, which is led actually out of the University of Florida. So we ask them, you know, how did you hear about us? That's a pretty simple question. And the information is really useful to us because we know that, you know, almost half of them, 44% of them, learned about this webinar not necessarily from their commanding officers, not from their extension people, but from their professional association. And that's because they can get continuing education credits with us through a couple of different professional associations. But so that helps us tell us a little bit about our audience and if we're reaching the people that we need to be reaching. And, you know, that they're not really following us on Twitter or Facebook, even though we want them to. Or that's not where they're getting that information. Another thing we do is pretty much constant and continuous monitoring of our social media channels. So we very much are interested in social learning, and we're not there yet. We are the Department of Defense has really embraced social learning, which is kind of interesting, and that's a whole other topic. But so we do a lot of work in social spaces, primarily in Facebook and Twitter, but also depending on our concentration areas, they're working in LinkedIn. One of them's got an Instagram account. So, you know, every month we have these crazy reports that this is what our evaluator spends a lot of time doing, but where we can really look at across our concentration areas, you know, what's going on with them, how is their reach, how is their engagement, whether or not those numbers sort of, you know, what can we tell? For instance, in that first Facebook likes on the top left-hand corner, military caregiving has the most Facebook likes. Well, I know they pay for advertising, so they got a lot of likes, but proportionally it is not translating into reach and engagement. So, you know, that gives us some valuable information, what is translating into reach and engagement. So there are other ways you can kind of take the backdoor entrance into who your audience is and engaging with them and find out if your methods of trying to engage with them are really working. We have this interesting dichotomy with the Department of Defense, and because, of course, their primary, so the people we work with help military service members, and those folks are, you know, generally between the ages of 18 and 24. They're very much into social media. That's where they are. And so the folks who are a little bit older than them, have been in the service a little bit longer and are supposed to be helping them, have a mandate to get in there and engage with these people in social media, but it's a little like convincing extension people sometimes. They're quite hesitant. So that's kind of an interesting dichotomy. So we use, you know, defense is interested in this stuff, and they do look at it and report out on it every month to their higher-ups. So when you're building your toolbox for doing online program evaluation, some of the things that you need a theory of change. It can look like a logic model. You know, we've been hammering logic models in extension for a long time, but it also doesn't have to look like a logic model. Our theory of change does not look like a logic model. It's more of a narrative about what we're doing and how it's changing and the kinds of behaviors that we're interested in encouraging and our ultimate audience. You need a high-quality, secure online survey tool. I used to spend a lot of time talking to people about specific tools, and I've kind of given up because it changes so frequently. And again, context matters. The tool that works best for us and that I'm a big fan of is Qualtrics. It's also a very expensive tool, but if you're interested in Qualtrics, I believe eExtension is still keeping up their Qualtrics account, and any premium members can use the eExtension Qualtrics account, not just for COP work, but for any kind of work. So if you're in need of a good online survey tool, I can very much recommend that. It's got a lot of nice bells and whistles. IRBs like it. It's got great features for downloading the data and all that kind of stuff. So now I will say, in terms of those survey tools, I have found over time that the ones you pay for, you do get what you pay for. You know, a free SurveyMonkey account is not going to get you what an institutional Qualtrics account is going to get you. And so it may be worth it to find out what's available to you. Now, the opposite is, well, not the opposite, but I have found with social media monitoring tools, you don't always have to pay for them. There's a lot of good ones built in already to most of the social media channels. I mean, you can learn a lot from Facebook Insights. It takes some time to learn it, and you've got to be consistent about it and get in there on a regular basis and really dig in. But it's free, and it tells you a lot about you know, who's on your Facebook page. And depending on what you're trying to do, if you're trying to actually do some educational work in Facebook, it's worth spending your time in there. We and the Military Families Learning Network, we have a paid subscription to something called Sprout Social, and we went that way primarily because it gives us the ability to look at all of our concentration areas accounts across social media platforms. So it'll look at Twitter and it'll look at Facebook and Instagram and all those things all in one place. So for a project of our size, that's really helpful and worth the money. But you know, you can learn just as much. Twitter actually has some built-in analytics now as well, or if you use Hootsuite or one of those kind of clients, you may not have to pay for a good online monitoring tool. And then also really key is a good working knowledge of and access to Google Analytics. And if you don't have access to whatever web pages you're doing work in, if you don't have access to the Google Analytics, ask for it. If you're using eExtension and you're interested in finding out what's happening with those pages, you can just join the community around Google Analytics, and then you have access to your analytics. It's worth spending the time, and if it's a great thing to... If it's not something you have time for, and I'm sure, right, we all need one more thing to do, but to get somebody on your team to really learn it, and a lot of graduate students I found really get into it and like to learn how to use Google Analytics. And it changes, but it's not at the pace at which, I mean, I some of the social media stuff changes so quickly that it's easier to keep up, I think, with being competent in Google Analytics. So this is just to give you an idea for military families. Of one of the reasons that we use Sprout Social. It's a little hard to see, I think, with that white background. But so these are just the Twitter analytics on one of our concentration areas, our family development concentration areas. So, you know, we just kind of monitor them. 1 month, you're not going to necessarily learn a lot. But as you're looking at trends and figuring out, you know, not surprisingly, we have a lot more female followers than male followers. So, you know, where you really can kind of figure out what's going on. And one of the things we're most interested in is clicks. You know, are people following through? Are they sharing that? All that information that we're trying to share and that research base, is it working? So that is a really nice feature of Sprout Social. It gives you the link clicks. So if you want to have a really tricked out toolbox for your online program evaluation, you know, some of the things that I recommend are competence and more than one evaluation approach. You know, anybody who's a trained researcher has the methodology, because it's the same methodologies essentially. It's just applying kind of a different lens to them. So, you know, competence and more than one evaluation approach. I think in evaluation in particular, you need to really be comfortable in mixing your methods. Sometimes a survey is not going to get you just that hard quantitative data, may not get you to the depth that you need, but it may be a good entryway, it may be a good place to start. One of the things we're doing right now, Military Families Learning Network, we're taking some of that quantitative data and using it to identify specific audience members who've engaged with us over time, and we're trying to get them to participate in a focus group where we're going to get some more rich, you know, some rich data. Now I will tell you, I'm beginning to lose hope. We have to get essentially IRB approval from the Department of Defense whenever we want to talk to their people. We've been waiting on approval on an online synchronous focus group for 9 months now. So we'll see, but hopefully we'll get there. But another thing we're doing, which is more quantitative focus, is a social network analysis of the learning network. And those evaluation questions are really more about the health of our network. We call ourselves a network. Are we really a network? Are we really, you know, internally within the network? Who's connected to who? How strongly? Who do we trust? Who do we turn to for work? So I'm really excited about that. That survey actually goes out next week. And then I think, and this is kind of an interesting discussion within Extension, but this was really the bulk of my work on my dissertation, this focus on program improvement. So we are constantly barraged with the need to show impact, to show outcomes, to show learning outcomes, with that accountability piece. And to a large degree, it's understandable. We're publicly funded. People want to know what's happening with those dollars. So I get that. I definitely get that. But I'm also a big advocate that if you really focus on improving your program, getting the information, asking the evaluation questions you need to make your program as good as it can be, all the data is going to be there for whatever you need to report for accountability purposes. So, and I know that can be a hard sell sometimes, but I'm a big advocate for really focusing on program improvement. That will get you the data you need to use for reporting purposes. So I'm happy to answer any questions. This is how you reach me. I'm pretty active on Twitter at program eval, my office number and email and all that kind of good stuff. But if anybody has questions, I'm happy to answer them. I think we're getting close to being into your business meeting, but thanks for coming. Yep.
Questions for Sarah?
Ms. Riven, they got it.